100 Word Stories.
Baby, it's cold outside. Oh, hey, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Ah, Sunday. Oh, man. Oh, you know what that means? It's time for the weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with a story. Yeah, the topic this week was dark, and a lot of you have sent in stories. Guess what we do with them? Mash them all together and post them up here. who sent them in? Let's see, Muncie, Jeffrey, Richard, Charlie, Will, Lizzie, Lisa, Tom, John, or is it Don? I can't remember. Serendipity, Tura, Norval Joe, and Planet Z. If I sound a little chipper, I've just been drinking Gatorade all day. You know, electrolytes. And the rest of the time, I'm just zonked. Ooh, man. One of the good side effects is I've lost a ton of weight. One of the bad side effects is, when will that stop? Doc, did I eat some cursed pie or something? Did I run over a gypsy? So let's get on with the stories, and hopefully I won't starve to death in the meantime. Here we go. How do we stop this thing?
Greetings, Decembarians, from Munsey, here from the edge of town to bring you The Darkness by Christopher Monroe. Whatever you do in this life, the darkness will always be there, waiting for you. Always. The band, I mean. I'm not in any manner of existential crisis at the moment, and while I do live with mild depression, I'm in a fairly stable emotional headspace as I write this. I'm just listening to a lot of The Darkness lately, because I've been in a throwback 80s metal kind of mood. So yes, whatever you do, the darkness will be there, waiting for you. Because they believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of their hearts. Broken Escalator, should you need an ebook, and tweets at Munzee Munzee, if you want some tweets. That's it for me this week, Decembarians. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 556 on the topic of dark. My story today is called Brought to You by Allstate. For a while, I drove home with the sun directly in my eyes. My fault for living west of the metro station, I know. But I got used to it, and slowly the sun dipped a little lower, a few minutes each day. Finally, I could see again, and so could the crazy homebound drivers surrounding me. Then the insane invention known as Daylight Savings Time ended in early November, and as I left the metro car that first Monday evening, it was pitch dark outside. It turns out everyone thinks he can drive well in the dark, but no one actually can. And in the morning, driving east, the sun is directly in my eyes now. Who invented this concept? The insurance industry? And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. This is Richard. And this week, in my ongoing mission to steal Jeffrey Fisher's ideas, I give you three stories, all connected. This is The Writer, parts 1, 2, and 3. It was a dark and stormy night. The wind rattled the window panes, and the rain hammered against the glass. Irritably, the writer tore the paper from his typewriter, throwing it onto the growing pile on the floor. It was shocking that, after all these years, the best he could manage was cliched ramblings and stock prose. He may as well be writing greetings cards, not novels. In a sudden burst of rage, he kicked out at the pile of waste paper, scattering sheets everywhere in a flurry of crumpled pages, before storming off to bed. Maybe sleep would bring inspiration. It was a dark and stormy night, and strange things were afoot in the writer's study. Fluttering papers shifted in unexplained motion, discarded pages moving as if captured in eddies and gusts and unseen whispers of wind. As night marched onwards, the pages fluttered and floated upwards, gravitating towards the writer's bedroom, to hover above his face. Imperceptibly at first, then with gathering momentum, ink ran from the paper in thick, dark drops, trickling over his face, seeking out his eyes, his mouth, oozing into his ears and nose. The writer awoke, screaming, as the first light of dawn broke. The writer sat in the morning sunlight. The dark thoughts of last night, just a faded memory. Feeling strangely inspired, he began typing, fingers moving of their own volition as words and ideas poured unbidden onto the pages. All day he continued until finally it was finished. Quite the easiest novel he'd ever written. Retiring to his bed, he congratulated himself on a job well done. In the darkness, the words seethed. Who did he think he was, taking credit for their work? Silently, slowly, the dark ink ran, and the pages returned to their pristine, blank state. And that was my story, or stories rather, for this week. So until next week, goodbye.
He was short, dark, and but ugly. His mother had eaten too much candy containing aspartame when she carried him. As a mature man, he didn't spend much on his wardrobe, as he felt it wouldn't make a lick of difference in the acceptance he would get in the community. He also saved a lot on housing, prophylactics, automobiles, theater tickets, and restaurant dining. Lenny did invest his money in entrepreneurship, and made a fortune by opening unique and popular businesses in his area. Soon, as his bank account grew, many realized Lenny's idiosyncratic looks worthy of attention and their friendship.
Hello everyone, Wheezy here. I never explain my stories because I think that as soon as I let go of them, they belong to you, to the reader, and to the listener. But today, allow me a few minutes to share with you how the text I wrote for today came about. On November 29th, I woke up to the absolutely horrifying news that a plane had crashed only a few miles away from the Medellin airport in Colombia. In the plane was the entire football team. We call it football here, but for some of you, it would be soccer. The entire football team of a small Brazilian club. They were going to play the first game of the South American Cup against Atlético Nacional de Medellín. Inside the plane were also club staff members, 20-plus journalists covering the event, and a few guests of local authorities, Brazilian local authorities, and, of course, the crew. Somebody decided that they wanted to save money on fuel. And because of that decision, 71 people died a few miles away, only a few miles away from the Medellin airport. 71 people died. Stupid, stupid, stupid. There's just no words for this. But on a positive note, A few people survived. 4 players, 1 journalist, and 2 crew members. They are all recovering well, except for 1 player who is still struggling. And that's how this text came about. What made things even more difficult to listen to on the news and TV, and of course it was splattered all over the news here in Portugal, is the fact that Portugal and Brazil share very tight bonds, as you know, not just historical, cultural, a common language even, but families who have members who are Brazilian and Portuguese, and so it's really a very tight connection between the two countries. And some of the names of that team were known here in Portugal. Some had played here, and because somebody made a stupid decision, they died. And that's how my text came about. So here it is. Passports, check. Boarding time, check. Here we go. Flying wasn't always an easy endeavor, but the enthusiasm was big. A small group united in their will to win, as they had so many times in a recent past. They kept their eyes on the future, as they should. Then, a horrifying twist of fate put an end to everything. It put an end to lives. Children lost their fathers. Wives lost their husbands. Mothers and fathers, families, friends had to mourn their loved ones. It was raining. The pages of the passport fluttered in the strong wind amongst the wreckage. Dark, very dark. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's Lisa, and 100 words here on the theme of dark. It's called Snow Globe. It was unexpected, as it always was. Took us all by surprise, as it always did. No logic to when. A darkness that swept us up, followed by almost an upturning, although none of us ever fell. A shake rocked our world. Frozen in time, the snow flurried round us, drifted, stopped the traffic, although even the elders could never remember it moving. Almost as soon as it began, the quaking stopped. As if we were on solid ground again, a stability as the snow swirled around, rebounding against a solid sky. Rested over our scene, and calm was restored. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story this evening is called Against the Tide. Jack Dark was an interesting man, a vast intellect and soul of unparalleled depth, the counsel to the powerful and rich, but at the same time an advocate for those with little or no voice. No less a man who knew well his shortcomings and failures, kept his darker demons at bay, and let the angels of his better nature wield the flaming sword of justice, quick in action, slow to anger. In a time of darkness, he shone like a black light, and all who followed his shadow found their way through this endless night. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Dark Ties by John DeCleese. Dark is not the absence of light, it is the absence of usable light. If you are in a tunnel underground, your eyes will find a tiny candle adequate. But someone standing between you and the sun will be dark, invisible to your vision. In our dark house, all the lighting is wrong. You cannot see your face in a mirror. If the light comes from behind, worse, lights above a mirror rather than at the sides shine down and make dark shadows on your face. The place you cannot see to knot your tie is the definition of dark.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Don't be afraid of the dark. There's nothing lurking in the shadows to be fearful about. Neither are there monsters hiding under the bed, waiting to grab your leg as you vault the gap between floor and blanket. These are all illusions, creations of an overactive mind and deprived senses. They are not real, and they certainly cannot harm you. Old Nietzsche had it right. The true darkness lies in the mind. And if you do gaze into that abyss, it will gaze right back at you. Now, look into my eyes and see what really lurks in the dark.
Tura Brezoino here, with a story on the subject, dark. I got up from my desk and answered the doorbell. "Come in, Janet," I said. I turned on the hallway light, it being a gloomy midwinter afternoon. Janet, my research student, had spent the last month visiting European libraries and archives to examine some original documents from the Middle Ages. Many never translated. We discussed what she had found, and she left me a copy of her digital transcriptions and audio notes. It was well into the evening before I saw her out. I closed the door and turned out the light. For it is always light where I am.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 556 with a prompt of dark. Well, here's my story. Though it was dark, simple deduction told them that the five cars ahead of them blocked the highway completely, and they weren't getting past in that direction.
"Can we turn around and go back?" Ferret asked Mickey without turning her eyes from the blockade. In answer, the 4x4 appeared over the rise behind them. Ferret waited until the truck bore down on them and then gunned the minivan, spinning a donut in the median between lanes of the highway. Less maneuverable than the van, the truck had to jam on the brakes to try and follow them. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Dr. Odd found abortion to be morally repugnant, so he invented a new form of birth control. He called it the dark. It moved the fetus to the dark space between space and time, and endless, timeless nothing. It was perfectly safe for the mother and the fetus, and it was completely reversible, where a fetus could be moved back from the dark to the mother. People asked him what happened if the fetus were never retrieved. "Nothing," he said. "It simply doesn't exist. Unless he accidentally pulled it back out while trying to retrieve his winter wardrobe from storage."
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of dark. I hope you enjoyed all of them. I certainly did. I'm just going to play them over and over again as I convalesce. Is that the word? Convalesce on the sofa here. I've got to go in for an x-ray tomorrow, and then hopefully right after that, the doctor clears me to go back to work. Okay, so Merry Christmas to me, huh? And speaking of Merry Christmas, we've got the Christmas special coming up. And that's the next topic. Anything on the holidays or Christmas or shopping or whatever, I don't know. You've been building this up for the whole year. I've been posting Christmas stories all month. So I hope there's some sort of inspiration to you to look for your sick and warped sense of decency. One a day until the day I die.com, probably from starving to death. I've been drinking Ensure and Boost and eating pudding and mostly non-solid foods. So you can add that to the painkillers which block you up, and then the Dulcolax to loosen you up. And this is a combination that I could probably be put on the front lines of the war on terror. And yeah, I'm a biological weapon at this point. So thank you very much for being a part of this. You may not want to stand behind me. And as always, keep it brief.